Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas, and his humble, oh-so-humble co-host, Crispy. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there. We are coming to you this morning, special event from Florida. We are starting a new little project here on Brilliant Ideas Radio, and we are going to be doing on-location interviews at different restaurants and meeting people along the way. And I have my trusty sidekick here, Crispy. Good morning from Florida. Are you there?
Good morning from sunny Orlando, Florida. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We are getting ready to crank it up over there on the East Coast, and we have brought on a real famous person who's going to be working with us now from this point forward. He's going to be doing these restaurant interviews, and everybody knows her as the Retro Red Celebrity Chef. She's been on Food Network. Everybody, you know, she's been cooking up some things on EmilyEllen.com. We all know her as Emily Ellen or the Red Celebrity Chef. Good morning, Red Chef. What are you doing and where are you?
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Crispy. I am ready to eat and drink some good brew and food at Shipyard Brew Pub in Winter Park, Florida.
Yeah, I hear that's where you're over there in Winter Park, Florida with the Shipyard crew. And we appreciate you setting this all up with those guys. And I understand you've got quite a crew there with you this morning to talk about the Shipyard and tell us about some of the goodies they have and some of the brews that they have. So I'm going to turn this over to you and take it away, Emily.
That's right. So I'm at Shipyard Brew Pub in Winter Park, Florida, with the entire crew. I have Fred Heyman, who's Director of Operations, and I'd like to start with him and just have him give you an overview of Shipyard, the company, and what is going on in Winter Park, Florida, and what they're cooking up this year.
Great.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I'm from Shipyard, and we actually started out in 1992 in Kennebunkport, Maine, in a place called Federal Jack's. That was our first brew was Shipyard Export, and since then we've opened up 7 locations in Maine, and we have one here in Winter Park. Fred Forsley, the owner, has had interest in Winter Park and Florida for quite a while, and we had a brewery in the airport. We moved our interest over here, and we're looking to open up a couple more locations in this area.
As Floridians love to eat and drink, period. So,
hey, wait a minute. Hey, Emily. I think Crispy can attest to that. Do you like to eat and drink, Crispy?
Yes. Actually, Shipyard, not too far from my house, because I'm over here in College Park, so I know exactly where Emily Ellen is. Yes, I do.
Well, Crispy, get your butt over here to Shipyard so you can eat and drink with us. Come on. Well,
So, Fred.
I have to tell you guys that Shipyard, they keep bringing out food and putting it in front of me and beer, and I want them, while I'm eating away, to tell you about some of the upcoming events because they have some really cool things a-brewing.
Our first Oktoberfest-style pig roast on October 20th from 2 to 8 in our parking lot. We're going to block everything off. We'll have bands out front, great brews, and barbecue for everybody from 2 to 8. We're also partnering up with Caddyshanks in Baldwin Park to do the Orlando Sentinel Pretty Pink event for breast cancer awareness on October 18th. And you can come down and check us out the weekend in our lot for Saturdays in the park.
Fred, what kind of things are you going to be serving at these events?
We're going to be serving our homemade clam chowder and buffalo chicken dip at the Sentinel Pretty Pink event, and we're going to have all barbecue favorites and Eric, our brewmaster's famous brew, on Oktoberfest, October 20th.
Sweet.
What were you saying, Frank?
I said it's cool. My sidekick always says sweet. You might have a big hairy guy show up there on October 18th and October 20th who lives in College Park and may be coming to see you there, Fred.
Crispy, you better come.
Oh, I will. It's right down the street. Well, not right down the street, but maybe about a mile. It's not too far.
Now, guys, have you ever tasted Shipyard beer?
Yes. I like the Shipyard pumpkin ale because I love the pumpkin beer.
Well, that is the season that we're in, and I happen to have Eric Hilgendorf. He is the brewmaster, and he doesn't just perfect the beer that Shipyard brings to them. He brews his own stuff, and I want you guys to talk to him. He is going to tell us a little about what's brewing up right now, what's seasonal, and then he'll tell us some other great things, and please ask him about anything beer and drink related.
All right. How's it going, everybody?
All right. How are you doing?
Pretty good. It's fall, so it's pumpkinhead season, and just recently we got in our shipment of Smash Pumpkin on draft, so everybody needs to make sure to come down and get some Smash Pumpkin draft. And then the stuff we've been brewing in-house, we got a s'mores beer coming up on 10/11/12 release, and then I'll have my own pumpkin beer coming out eventually. There's no release date on that yet, but that's one of the ones I'm working on right now.
Did you say s'mores beer?
Yes, I said s'mores beer.
So that's what I was trying to figure out.
So does it taste like marshmallow and chocolate? Is that what it tastes like?
Yeah, chocolate, marshmallow, graham cracker. It should all be there.
All right. I'm going to have to check that out. Go check that out for us, Christy. If it's any good, send me some. So how long have you been a brewmaster?
I've been homebrewing since 2004, and then I started as an assistant brewer here last year, and then I took over as the head brewer in around April of this year.
So how many different flavors of beer and different types of beer do you have there at the Shipyard?
We have 16 beers on draft right now, and since I started, I think I've brewed about 50 different kinds of beer. So
wow.
we change it up almost twice a week. There's a different in-house beer that we tap.
Well, I do know somebody who's going to probably make a trip over there to get some of the Smashing Pumpkin.
Oh, yes, I will be there for sure. That is for sure.
Well, guys, it's not just about drinking over here at Shipyard, I hope you know. They are making these cool beers like the s'mores beer, and they're pairing it with delicious food. I am shoving a delicious flatbread in my mouth right now. It's veggie, it's got cheese, it's these beautiful portobello mushrooms, and I want, as I take a couple more sips of my beer and eat this flatbread, to give you to the head chef. David is going to tell you about what they're cooking up at Shipyard.
Okay, great. David, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So basically, we do daily specials every day. We try to incorporate the local ingredients to our specials every day, and we have fresh, crispy flatbread. We have today. We had three of our most popular items on our menu: our New England clam chowder, our Maryland-style crab cakes with a smoked corn relish, and spicy remoulade. And a crispy veggie tar flatbread.
Mm. The chowder is so rich and creamy, and it's like full of clam and like all this good stuff. Guys, I wish you were here to taste it with me.
Yeah, you get the fun job. You get to eat the food. All we got to do is just listen to you describe it and make all those noises.
Oh,
drooling
yeah.
on myself with all the descriptions of all this.
Guys, I'm gaining like 3 pounds over here just eating. It's delicious. Can you hear my spoon like hitting the ball? Can you slurp it up on a spoon? It's delicious. And I'm going to the crab cakes next. But while I go to the crab cakes, if you want to talk to David about any more food things, please ask him. If not, we've got Jill here who is like the guru on all things Shipyard, and she can direct you to whatever you want to know.
Well, I was going to ask David a couple of questions about the menu. So you've got all types of things on the menu. I mean, give the listeners some certain things that maybe some of your specialties, some of your best sellers.
Some of the best sellers are definitely, we've been doing a shrimp caprese pasta, which has been selling like crazy. we try to incorporate like fresh fish from the area too. Red grouper, we're doing tonight, red grouper special. It's going great. I mean, the specials are selling. So tonight we're going to do a fresh lobster risotto with a fennel cream sauce with it. So that should go really good. Yeah, it's exciting.
So it sounds like you guys are not only about the brew, you're also about the food. And is Emily stuffing her face right now?
Yes.
Yes.
I have crab gigs in my mouth right now, and Jill is telling me about some other cool things that they're cooking up. You know how I am like a big foodie, and I love tracking down like the food trucks in the area and what have you.
Right.
The Shipyard Brew Pub has all these cool events, and Jill is going to tell you about the food truck that they're getting into.
Oh, cool.
Hey,
okay. Hi, Jill. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Great.
Welcome. So Eric and I, I'm one of the other managers, we do two food truck events a month. We're going to Ocoee tomorrow night. So much fun. They have a movie in the park. We have 10 taps on our truck, and then we go to Apopka the first Thursday of every month.
Wow. Now, this is an event where there's, I assume there's lots of different food trucks that go all at one time?
Yep. There's 12 to 14 food trucks. Every week, we don't have any food. We just have beer and wine.
Okay. Hey, the necessities of life, Jill, the necessities of life.
Yes. Guys, I'm just drinking for beer.
Do you go to the Winter Park truck stop, food truck stop?
We're not there. We're not at Winter Park.
Yet.
Or the College Park one?
Ocoee and Apopka.
Ocoee and Apopka. Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm. We also have a traveling bar. We're fully licensed, so we can bring our truck to anybody's house, and we can also bring a full liquor.
Frank, Crispy and I are coming on a road trip in the Shipyard truck to California. Are you ready?
Yeah, I was going to ask Jill that exact question. How far can she drive? Can she drive 3,000, 3,500 miles?
We're coming to California. They're packing up these crab cakes for me and chowder and the whole beer truck with root beer, wing, wing, and we're going to California.
Awesome.
I'll be waiting for you at the border, Emily.
Amen to that. Well, I'll have a full glass ready for you. And,
before I forget, because I always forget to do this, does the Shipyard have a website?
They do. Jill was just going to tell you the Facebook and website handle.
Okay, cool.
Our Facebook is Shipyard Brew Pub Winter Park, and our website is shipyardwinterpark.com.
Shipyardwinterpark.com. And then you're also on Facebook?
Yes, it's Shipyard Brew Pub Winter Park.
Okay, great. So anybody who's listening who would like to check out the restaurant there in Winter Park or find out more information, you can go to the two websites. We'll post those on the show link so everybody can just click and go. And Emily,
yes.
I just realized it's kind of early in the morning and you're already drinking some of the beer.
Don't ruin this. We'll be late by the time I drive across country, so you just hush up.
Well, I said in the intro, I said good morning, so I just realized, I'm like, uh-oh. Well, you know what? It's later out there, though, wink, wink.
Yeah, because it's almost 11:30 our time. It's like
somewhere, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere, yes.
Just so you know, come out and join me, please. We're cooking and brewing up some fun things at Shipyard. I'll have events listed on my website, www.emilyellenwithay.com, and my Facebook, Emily Ellen. And every weekend there's something cooking up. And then October 20th, there's this fun beer, brews, and bands, fresh gut, organized that I'm going to be attending, and I think it'll be a blast. So I guess I better hurry up, get in my Shipyard truck, and drive cross country before all these events happen.
Well, maybe it might be easier if I catch a plane and come to Florida. I think that'd be a little bit easier.
Okay, fair enough. Come and join us.
This could be an adventure, though. Me and Emily Allen in a beer truck, a food truck full of booze.
Oh, my goodness. That would make me a retro rad ass. Wholesome with an edge.
That's true. Well, Emily, we thank you for having the folks from Shipyard on. Did Fred want to add anything else about the restaurant before we let you go?
No, I just want to say the whole family's welcome here. We have a great atmosphere on the weekends, and we'd love to see you. Come on down and try some of David's sort of an East Coast fusion. He's a blend between New England and Southern food, and it's a really cool vibe. We have live entertainment every weekend from 1 to 4 on Saturdays and from 6 to 9, and also on Sundays from 12 to 3.
And, Fred, give your address so everybody knows where you're located.
200 West Fairbanks in Winter Park. That's right next to the 6-foot beer.
Right next to the 6-foot beer.
An actual draft beer that's 6 feet in the street.
Oh, cool.
Right near Rollins College, too.
It's basically on the Rollins College campus.
Cool.
Right before you hit to Park Ave if you're heading west.
Well, Fred, thank you for allowing us to come in and letting Emily come in there and drink some of your brew and eat some of your food and tell us about your restaurant. And we appreciate you coming on the show. And Emily, did you have anything you wanted to add before you get drunk?
No, but that is a brilliant idea, so I will get on that.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. And everybody who's listening, make sure when you're in the Winter Park area, you check out the Shipyard Brew Pub and go to their website and check out all the cool food they got there and all the brews. And I know that Crispy is going to probably be cranking up his bike and riding over to get some Smashing Pumpkin before long.
Oh, yes. Woo! Definitely. I'll pop wheelies all the way there.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. We appreciate it, and we'll be checking out. I think I'm going to be getting an airplane ticket and heading to Winter Park very soon.
Yay!
Great. All right. Take care. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Love you. Bye.
There you go. There's Emily Ellen there in Winter Park. We appreciate her taking the time to go there. We appreciate all the fine folks at Shipyard Brew Pub. Check out the website, like I said before, and Crispy. Next time, you got to be there sharing in the food and describing the scrumptious tastes that are going on at the restaurant when she does these little restaurant adventures.
Yes, I think we have something planned in October, I believe. If I knew they were that close, I would have rode up there this morning.
Well, you know, it's tough enough for you to just get out of bed, much less ride your bike to a restaurant in the morning.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, well, that's the end of our first on-site restaurant interview with Emily Ellen. And make sure also everybody check out emilyellen.com. There's a lot of information there. You can find out more about where she's been, where she's going, and she will be doing this little adventures with us for the next couple of months and see where it goes from there. And Crispy, I guess we can call it the end of the interview unless you got anything marvelous or wonderful or awesome to say.
No,
I
not really.
So.
It sounded like happy hour over there already.
And there you go. Everybody take care, and we will be back in a moment.
Mama child, she's so fine. Send those heat waves up and down my spine. She got a small waistline, a hip red way out, and the whole fire department can't put her out. She's a hot little mama. She's my hot, hot little mama. She's my hot little mama. And she really sets me afire. Hot little mama, like electric wire. Every time she kisses me, she sets me afire. She's my hot little mama. She's my hot, hot little mama. She's my hot little mama. And she really sets me afire. Hot little mama makes me alarm. She can do more damage. A whole age bomb. She's my hot little mama. Melt the snow, that was all she could do. But my baby boiled the water after Mary got through. Hot good mama, my hot, hot good mama. She's my hot good mama, and she really sets me afire. Yeah, 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 hot little mama, and she really sets me afire.
Is your website missing that extra zing? Do you need a radio commercial? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I can help you. Hello, I'm Christopher Trimble, and I am a voiceover artist. I offer these great services: website intros, corporate presentations, audiobooks, radio commercials, and much, much more. Check out my site, www.christophertrimble.com, or you can call 407-556-5506. Once again, that phone number is 407-556-5506. Making noise since 1970.
Yes, he's always making noise, and we are back. This is Brilliant Ideas Radio. I hope you guys enjoyed the first segment. We'd like to thank all the fine folks over at Shipyard Brew Pub in Winter Park, Florida, for the opportunity to come in there and have a little fun. And, of course, our good friend, Emily Ellen. Thank you, Emily, for being over there. We're looking forward to upcoming visits and adventures with Emily Ellen. And you can be taking the sidekick, Crispy, with you next time. So be prepared and be careful. And, guys, we'd like to thank everyone. I just wanted to make one little small comment here about our show and the listeners. And thank you so much for listening in every week. We, I don't know what to say. It gets better and better all the time. We keep breaking records. We're moving up in the ranks. And I really appreciate everybody and what you're doing out there and supporting the show. It's a wild ride the last year, but thank you for, you know, keeping up and listening. If you don't listen, we don't have to make a show. So keep listening. We'll keep making these shows, and it's been a lot of fun. Also wanted to mention real briefly that we have some new sponsors coming on soon in the next couple of months. If you'd like to be a sponsor, I'll say it again. It's a greatly inexpensive. You know, we work for food around here, so it's really inexpensive. Become a sponsor for the show. Contact me at GreenIdeas@earthlink.net or Facebook, et cetera, if you'd like to find out how to be a sponsor. And also, if you want to be on the show, it's real simple. All you got to do is basically call us up, send us an email, tell us about your product, and we're actually pretty easy to get along. We don't have a whole lot of criteria, as you can tell, the way we talk, that much to what we do. But if you've got a product you want to promote or tell us about, or a talent of some sort, let us know. We will put you on the show. Like we say, all you have to do is be able to boil a hot dog if you want to on our show. That's about as foodie as Crispy and I get. And also wanted to mention we got a break here for a second because we're waiting for our next guest, that next week we've got one heck of a show lined up. On next Saturday, we got Redneck Incorporated.
They're a music blues type band that are coming on. They've just cut a new CD. I think you guys will like it. We also have Liz Smothers from Julian Pies. And if you've never had a Julian Pie, oh, my God, it's like the best pie. I think God has something to do with Julian Pies. They're the best pies ever. She's going to be coming on talking about their pies. They're in Julian, California area, and I eat their pies all the time. So I asked Liz to come on and talk a little bit about their business and how they got in the pie business. So don't miss that. And then we got some food news next week that, I'll just leave it as a surprise. We've got an interesting surprise when it comes to food news next week. You guys have asked us to continue doing the food news segment, and we're going to jazz it up a little bit, and I won't tell the secret now, but join us because that segment's a lot of fun where we talk about things going on in the food world. So make sure that you check us out next week. And I'm still waiting for I guess she's coming on. Yeah, there she is, I believe. I'm waiting for my next guest. We're going to take a real brief break here. Come back here for those that are listening, maybe for the first time. We wanted to say thank you again, and come back and see us every Friday night and Saturday morning. And we're always here 8:30 in the morning, West Coast time. And Friday nights, by the way, if you missed Friday night, last night's show, as someone told me, it was a hoot. Check it out. Our guest didn't show up, but we went on with the show anyway. So everybody hang tight. Our guest is coming on. It's Jane Bonacci. She's going to be talking about an interesting topic that's kind of in the news right now. You guys probably have heard all about gluten-free meals and food, and she's got some interesting things to say about gluten-free and some things she's done on her website and recipes. So I'm going to play a song from one of our guests who's coming on at 9:30, Jimmy Charles. We've taken a brief break, and then we're coming back here shortly with James. Everybody hang tight. We'll be back in about 2.5-3 minutes.
Morning, and we turned out just fine. This poor American dreamer is all for the schemers and a little bit out of control. Freedom fighters have put up and lighters, let the whole world know. We love our country, love our rock and roll. There's a touch of rust in our hearts of gold. That's a cowboy song. Cowboy song. I never threw the first punch, but never backed down once. I got a couple of scars to prove it. We walk that line and get caught sometimes between the Bible bottom and the bullets. And we stood the test of time. That's a cowboy song. That's a cowboy song.
That's Jimmy Charles, and that's Cowboy Soul. He'll be coming on at the 9:30 hour, 12:30 on the East Coast, and he's a great country music singer and a very nice guy, and we're going to be having him on at 9:30. But now we're going to go to our guest, and honestly, I've got a mix-up here on the phone, so I don't know who's on first and what's on second, so I'm going to push a couple buttons here, and hopefully I've got my guest. Hello, here we go. Come on, Blog Talk Radio, let's work like we're supposed to. And the 925 number, who we got?
That's me, Jane Bonacci.
Yay, that was a potluck shot. We've got a problem with our phone systems again this morning. Good morning, Jane. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Frank. How are you doing?
Ah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How about you, the Heritage Cook? Is everything going great up there in Northern California?
It is just swimmingly great today.
Swimmingly. That's a word I haven't heard in a long time. So you're coming on our show again. By the way, those folks who don't know Jane, Jane has been on our show before, and she's a big-time blogger, a food blogger, and she's on Facebook quite a bit, and you can find Jane on her website at www.theheritagecook.com. We have a link here on her show, but Jane's coming on here because Jane's got an interesting topic to talk about today, because I guess it means something to you too, but we're going to be talking about gluten-free and gluten-free recipes and how to make gluten-free food. So tell us a little bit about how you got into that and what you're going to be telling us about today.
Thanks again, Frank, for having me on. About a month and a half ago, 2 months ago now, I was diagnosed myself as gluten intolerant. And what that means is that I have a sensitivity in my body to gluten, which is the protein found primarily in wheat, barley, and rye products. So I basically can't process it correctly. And it's similar to a disease that a lot of people are talking about called celiac disease.
Right.
And that's a much more serious form of the challenges, shall we say, the digesting foods.
Explain something to me before you go further, because I hear it all the time in the news, and honestly, I guess I'm a dummy, but what exactly does that mean? What is gluten? And when you say gluten-free, is it my understanding is it has something to do with, is it wheat products? Is that correct?
Exactly. Whole wheat, we've been told our entire lives, is what is really healthy for us. Unfortunately,
right,
there are quite a few of us now that are discovering that that's not quite the case for us. Approximately 3 million people in the United States alone have celiac disease, the more serious form of this, and an estimated 90 million have some form of varying degrees of gluten sensitivity. And that's
now, what
a
does it
huge
do?
Number.
Like, how did you find out that you were had an intolerance to gluten? I mean, what was happening and what made you check into it and how'd they find out?
Well, I've been sick off and on for years, and the doctors just have never been able to figure out what it was. They're thinking, oh, it's over here. No, it's really over there. And pretty much just kept throwing their hands up. And finally, I just got tired of being sick and tired all the time and said, I'm going to go find somebody that can figure this out. So I was very lucky and discovered my version of Dr. House, a diagnostician in Northern California.
Okay.
And he listened to my symptoms and the things that were going on. And they can be, they're so random. And that's the hardest part about figuring out gluten intolerance. He listened and he says, you know, there's a whole bunch of things going on and we're going to test for a whole lot of different things. But there's one thing I want to test for in particular, and that's gluten sensitivity. And I said, oh, no, 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 it can't possibly be that. And he said, why not? I said, because when I was a kid, I was diagnosed with this intestinal disorder called Crohn's disease. And they tested me for celiac, and I don't have it. And he goes, well, you know, science has come a long way since then. I said, it hasn't been that long, doctor. but it has come a long way since my diagnosis with Crohn's, and it turns out that that's one of the trigger points for gluten intolerance that I didn't understand. Hmm. So we went through the testing process, and lo and behold, I came back as gluten intolerant. So within 24 hours, I was completely off of all wheat products.
Huh.
Yeah.
And that's, difficult in today's world. In today's world, I know there's a gluten-free segment. When I go to the store, like Fresh and Easy has a section now that has gluten-free products, but pretty much it's still pretty difficult to find a lot of gluten-free products out there in the market.
It is, but we're so much luckier today than if I had been diagnosed when I was a kid. There are so many amazing products out there, but unfortunately they're very expensive. So I've been forced, like so many others in this country, to learn to cook for myself in a totally different way. And I'm very fortunate, again, that I don't have full-blown celiac, but it's still very challenging for us, and it was daunting, even as a cook, it was daunting for me to take a look at this and completely change the way that I think about food. Initially, I would go into a restaurant or I'd look at a recipe and I'd go, I can't have that, I can't have that, I can't have that, I can't have that. And in the last 2 months, I've learned to turn my head around and say, oh, look, I can eat all of these things instead. But just like anything else, reverse psychology, the minute I heard I couldn't have pizza, pasta, bread, you know, baked goods, that's immediately what I wanted. I haven't eaten McDonald's in years, but boy, do I want it now.
I was going to really say, so much for fast foods, I guess. But so you went out on a quest, I guess, once you found out you had this condition, to set up a whole segment on your website, theheritagecook.com, to post recipes for people who have the same situation and have the same issues and try to make items that not only are gluten-free but taste good.
Exactly. And I think that's the biggest thing that's a misconception, is that gluten-free is boring or dull or nasty food, and it isn't. It's absolutely delicious.
And see, that's a misconception even about me.
I'd say you're quite
boring and
tasteful.
Boring and nasty. So if they want to make certain things that are gluten free, and they can go to your website and see the recipes, give me some ideas of some interesting things that people may not be aware of they can make that are gluten free.
Well, basically, you can make anything that you traditionally love, and you can make it these days gluten free. There's been a lot of people out there that are on the internet and that have done a lot of research and a lot of years of bad baking experiments and challenging things that have created a tremendous volume of information that's available to us that makes it so much simpler today than it was in when they were starting out. And I thank every single one of them for all of the problems that they've gone through in the kitchen to make it so much easier for us today. But basically, instead of thinking about flour as you go to the grocery store and pick up that bag of all-purpose flour and bake with it, you have to get rid of all of that, and you have to start over from scratch, and you have to make your own blend of flours that don't include gluten. And there's like 25 of them that you can work with. And probably the thing that bothered me the most when I first was looking at all of this was, you've got to be kidding. I have to buy 20 flours and blend it all every time I want to go in and bake a cake? You know, sorry, ain't going to happen. So just like everybody else, I'm looking for shortcuts.
Right.
And basically what it comes down to is you start with a foundation of rice flours usually, and then you can add in some other ones like ground almonds or ground hazelnuts, and they add a different flavor to the profile that you're looking at. And the better you get at this, the more you can just go out and make your own blend, kind of like making moonshine, I guess.
I was, Yeah, I know a little bit about that. But so if people go to your, if they go to your website and click on your section about the gluten-free recipes, do you explain to them how to make the different flours to do this? And I know there's some products on the market. When I was in, like I said earlier, Fresh and Easy the other day, I noticed they had some of these products that were pre-made, but you go give an explanation on how to make all these things in the different blends?
Yes, you have a choice of several out there. My two favorites that are pre-made are from King Arthur and from Bob's Red Mill. They both make really great general-purpose blending, baking blends.
Okay.
They're fabulous to use. But again, kind of on the pricey side. And that's the challenge. It's like eating organic. You know, you have to find out where you can make your cuts and get things in there that are healthy and within your budget. So what I've done is I've set up a pan.
Real question. Do you feel better now?
I do.
So it all
I'm
long,
a
all
week.
All, so you were sick and tired all the time. So now you're just tired, right?
Exactly. They still haven't figured out everything that's going on with me, but this gluten it shocked me how much of a difference it made pretty darn quickly. Some people, it's an overnight. They immediately start feeling better. For me, it took a little bit longer, but that's, you know, I've always been a little on the slow side.
Join the club.
Yeah. I knew you'd understand that one.
Yes, I get that. So on your website, they go there, they can look at all the different recipes that you come up with that help people that have the condition. And, you know, you can eat really well. Things taste really good. It's just a matter of changing up the wheat products and the flour and then coming up with a new combination. But you're using some of the same recipes and familiar items that everybody eats. It's just taking out that stuff that makes you sick.
Exactly. It's you have to be a little bit more of a chemist when you're baking. Cooking is really simple because most of the time when you're cooking, you use flour for thickening properties. You know, when you're making gravies or you're making a batter to fry chicken or something like that. So that's actually quite simple to flip that out and make that gluten-free. It's baking. That's always the challenge. It's always going to be more chemistry than it is fly off the seat of your pants and, oh, let's just throw a little bit of this in and a little bit of that in, which is why I like both sides of cooking and baking.
I got a question that came on. It's on the chat room that someone has asked. I don't know if you know the answer to this, but it's a good question. It says, how does this affect diabetics who are advised to steer clear of white and go to wheat? Have you ever had that question?
Actually, I haven't, but there's an awful lot of cross information there where people with dairy intolerances, gluten intolerances, diabetes are all challenged by trying to figure out how to eat healthy. And when you're taught, well, of course you can eat wheat because it's really healthy for you, as opposed to eating the white flours.
Right.
You have to make choices. In this case, and forgive me, listeners, because I'm not a doctor, but I think what they're talking about is the difference between regular all-purpose flour, which a lot of the nutrients have been taken out of to make it nice and pretty and clean and white for us, and the whole wheat or the whole grain flour that they're asking you to use instead. You can still get whole grain flours and utilize those, but they're not going to be wheat-based. Barley or rye. So you can do a gluten-free diabetic diet. It's going to be a little bit more challenging because you're trying to keep your carbohydrates down. And that can be, as always, as every diabetic out there knows, it's always a challenge. Actually, that brings me to another interesting point. There's a lot of fad diets on the market. And unfortunately, gluten-free has become a darling of some segments of the population. And I just would like to tell everybody that it's not a weight loss system. We're not on this because we want to lose weight or gain weight or whatever. We're on it because we have to be. However, if you want to cut bread out of your diet and pasta and things like that, if that's what you have trouble eating, feel free to go on a gluten-free diet. That really is something that makes you happy.
Well, it's funny you said that, because when I was at that Fresh and Easy the other day and looking at the gluten-free products, I knew you were coming on, and it is actually being promoted exactly that way as a diet, like a new diet fad. I was kind of surprised, and I know it's really, like you said, it's a disease, basically, and people have just can't handle the gluten, but the good old American people out there who are in the food business are twisting it into a gluten-free as a like a type of diet. So you're exactly right. It's not for that. It's for people who have this condition and have the issues with it. But you're right. If you stop eating bread and pasta, potatoes, and all those kind of things, you will lose weight, because I can attest to that.
Well, the good news is I can eat potatoes.
Oh, there you go. Well, potatoes aren't part of it. That's right.
I'm finding all kinds of fattening foods I can eat.
Here's a question. Could you make potato bread and be gluten-free? I guess you could with the different flour, right?
Exactly, and you absolutely can.
Okay.
And potato flour is actually one of the alternate flours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Potato
now,
starch is a thickener.
So if people want to find out more, they can go to your website, and we've got that link right here. It's real simple. Just click and go and find out more about the gluten-free products. Plus, in addition, not only do you have the gluten-free segment, section, you also have other fine foods that people can make. How many different recipes do you have on your website now?
I'm around 800 recipes.
Wow.
Yeah, and unfortunately, most of them went up before I was diagnosed gluten. So what I've done is I've set up a tab at the top of the page. If you look across the top, there's a bunch of green tabs over there, and the third one in is gluten-free. And what we're talking about today is what I've put up on there. I put up a whole series of basic flour recipes that other people have made up, some that I use myself. And you can feel free to go in and take a look at those and pick one that you like, or, you know, try a bunch of them and then figure out which one works for you. I've also included on it a list of baking tips and hints from some of these amazing bakers that are out there, like Shauna James Ahern is the gluten-free girl. A lot of people know Shauna online.
Okay.
And she's done a lot of research after she was diagnosed. And you can go up and read these folks' websites. They're just incredible stories out there. I also have a list of the resources and websites, like Shauna's, for example.
Okay.
And
yeah,
then,
everybody, check out the stuff on the website, because there's some great food there. And whether you need the gluten-free or not, folks like me who can still eat gluten products, there's a lot of nice recipes there that Jane has put on. And then you also got the segment for those folks who can't. And it's a very nice website. It's well thought out. It's well researched. And you can find out a lot of information about food. And what I like about your website, like you said, you have the links and more information and research that takes you further than just recipes.
My whole thing about food is that I love to teach, and I like to tell people why things happen, good or bad, or things to be aware of or cautious of when you're cooking, especially when you're beginning and you're not too comfortable in the kitchen. I was very lucky and blessed that I got to grow up watching my grandmother cook and learning from her, and she was a scratch baker and a cook. She cooked nothing out of a can. She didn't know what that was. She cooked everything from scratch. So from the time I was a little girl, everything that I understood to be delightful and tasty and well-made was made from scratch by my grandma. So I've never been afraid of the kitchen.
It's good stuff and brilliant, I will say. Brilliant recipes that are there. And everybody, make sure you check out Jane's website. And Jane, I want to thank you for coming on and giving us a little information about the gluten-free, because it is a big topic. You said, what, 90 million people out there who are, have issues with gluten, and if anyone's listening and has that problem, check it out on her website, and I think you'll find some interesting recipes there for you. And do you have anything else exciting going on, Jane, before I let you go out there in Northern California?
Well, I got to be honest with you, Frank. This is keeping me pretty busy. I basically have to go through all 800 recipes over the next year or months or whatever and make modifications in there so that anybody who has gluten intolerances can make them, or people who want to eat regular wheat products can make everything on the website. I'm not making it a gluten-free website, and I think that's an important distinction.
And the nice thing is, if you can do it, you can do it both ways. If you've got the gluten problem or not, you've got recipes for everything. And keep us posted, and I hope you start feeling better. At least you found out what the part of the sick and tired was, so don't work too hard. I have a feeling you're going to stay tired, so there's nothing you can do about that unless you just relax, but I don't think you'll be doing that.
Relaxation is not necessarily top on my priority list.
All right, Jane, well, thank you, and take care, and everybody check out Jane's website and check out all those great recipes. And Jane, come back and see us sometime when you get some maybe new recipes. And when you get from 800 to 1600, I want to see that cookbook, that Jane Bonacci cookbook.
I think there might be something in the works.
Ah, that's what I heard. A little bird told me that, but we'll check into that later. All right, well, you take care, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Frank. You have a great day.
All right, you too. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, guys, check out her website. If you got that gluten problem, she's got a lot of things there for you to learn about it, and check it out. And the food's all good. There you go. Got someone who actually can test it out and tell you, because she needs to do it too. But we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to have our next guest, Jimmy Charles, coming on. I'm going to play another one of Jimmy's songs, and he'll be coming on here shortly. When we get back here, I'll do a little bit of food news. We'll have Jimmy Charles. This is Jimmy Charles, and his song is called If I Could Steal the Stars.
I drove downtown on a Saturday just to clear my mind. Some man give his wife a brand new car. A big old hug, a big old kiss. The kids jumped in the back. They were gone for an afternoon drive. Well, my eyes watered up as a tear fell down when I pictured your face. I can't buy you all those fancy things. Does it make me less of a man? Does money really determine who I am? 'Cause I'd buy you the world if I could. A big old house somewhere in Hollywood. All you've ever wanted and all that you've dreamed, I'd give to you if I had. No one will ever take that away. I can't buy you a brand new car. If I could steal the stars, give them all to you. Walking down looking through these windows, designer clothes and overpriced shoes, things that dangle, things that sparkle, all things I can't afford. Though I wish I could, 'cause I love to see you smile. Baby, these are the things I can do. More between me and you. I'd buy you the world if I could. A big old house somewhere in Hollywood. All you've ever wanted, all that you dreamed I'd give to you if I had the means. But my love for you and the words I say, no one will ever take that away. I can't buy you a brand new car.
Charles, if I could steal the stars, he'll be our guest coming up here shortly. Great, great singer and up and comer. And I'm going to do a little bit of food news while we wait for Jimmy to join the show here. By the way, if you didn't hear our show last night, we went over some food news that was, well, I think hilarious. There were some things we talked about last night, like the 7 common grilling injuries and how to avoid them. If you're a griller like I am, I've experienced some of those injuries, so Christy and I got into a whole conversation about that last night, and salt intake and how it affects children, and high blood pressure, and the studies that were done on that. And you know us, sometimes you give us an inch, we take a mile. We had fun with some of these stories last night, so go back and check out the show. It was pretty funny. Even though we lost our guest, we had a good time, so check those out. Remember, the replays are always there. All you have to do is just play, hit the replay buttons anytime, any show you want to hear again, and it's there for you. Always for the last year, some of the earlier shows are not worth listening to. Of course, some people say some of the shows aren't worth listening to either, but anyway, I'm going to do a little food news here. Let's see, cranberries, just a little brief comment here. The produce news says that between 55 and 60% of the nation's crop is produced in Wisconsin, and it's going to be a banner year for cranberries. Based on past years, cranberries for some reason are doing extremely well. So I guess that's a good sign. Recent statistics show that a decade ago we were exporting about 10% of our total crop, and last year we exported about 30%. So we're selling more to the folks overseas because we have so much, and the prices should be driven down on cranberries. And we all know how good cranberry juice is good for us, and it gives you a little extra boost and also solves other problems, if you know what I mean. But cranberry juice is... it actually should be priced very well because the cranberry market is doing extremely, extremely well this year. Here's a couple little tidbits here. As far as when it comes to fighting colds, there's the best and worst foods for fighting colds or when you have a cold. The very first thing you need to know is you need to drink plenty of water. It's not really something that, you know, we talk about much, but not to get into gory, nasty details, but a little extra H2O can help thin the mucus from a cold and ease some of the congestion. And it's cold season coming up. I guess today is the first day of fall, or yesterday, it just turned over. So look out, the bugs are coming and people are going to be sick. So make sure you drink plenty of water. And they say plenty of fluids, but water is the key one. Plain water is the best. Tea is another option, but warm liquids too, we all know, is something you should take. Now, this little thing here was kind of interesting. It said to me that I've been told wrong all these years, but it says skip the juice. Not using juice in particular. Orange juice has a healthy reputation for immunity-boosting vitamin C, but juice also gets a bad rep for containing a heck of a lot of calories and a lot of sugars and things, which is not really good when you actually have a cold. Now, if you have fresh squeezed orange juice, but if you buy the stuff that's out there on the market with the extra sugars and things in it, it's actually not good, and it, extra sugar hinders the white blood cells from fighting infection. So when you're drinking the orange juice, make sure you don't have the kind that's got tons of sugar in it, because that's a no-no. Of course, soup, everybody has grandma who says make sure you have soup when you're sick. That still is one of the big things is soup. It'll make you feel better. It's comforting. It says here that while the warmth could break up some congestion, there does seem to be something about soup, and chicken soup in particular, that works against fighting infections. It's anti-inflammatory, says doctor who did this study. They did a study of 2,000 patients and examined the components of chicken soup as well as the contents of a bowl, and the researchers found you might feel even better if you can convince someone to make it for you. So chicken soup is definitely good based on the studies there. It has a lot of benefits when fighting a cold. Let's see here. Actually, I was surprised at this too. Fish, chicken, and turkey can help the organs that make your cold-destroying white blood cells. It helps replenish it because of the protein. So eating fish, chicken, and turkey when you have a cold actually helps with the symptoms and makes things better because of the white blood cells. Ginger is another thing that they talk about that helps with if you steep some fresh ginger in boiling water until the water turns yellow and drink it like tea with some honey. That's also something that helps out. It's an anti-inflammatory and is something good. Garlic, of course. Of course, no one will want to come near you, but you can eat garlic. That also kills bacteria if you catch it early enough. And there's some health studies done on garlic that found that it had a lot of good properties in it and actually made cold symptoms a lot better. And, of course, the part I didn't like to read, it says don't drink alcohol. What you don't want to do is if you have a cold is drink alcohol, because alcohol will basically make things worse. There are properties of alcohol that decrease your immune system. It suppresses it, and it doesn't let your body fight infection and also dehydrate you. So I'm guilty of that, but the only thing I'll say is when you got a cold, a little shot of whiskey, if you got a cough, will certainly knock the cough out, and it will put you to sleep. To me, it's like another form of NyQuil. So that's just a few things about the foods that are good for you or not good for you during a cold. One other thing, you know, we all hear about apples and apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, it does say that one medium-sized apple contains about 4 grams of fiber. Some of that is in the form of pectin, a type of soluble fiber that has been linked to lower levels of LDL or bad cholesterol. And it blocks the absorption of cholesterol, and it actually helps you when you're sick. So, yep, eating an apple a day may keep the doctor away, and also it's good for you in other ways too. So anyway, there's a few little tidbits in the food world and food news, and I think we're going to be going to our next guest here. I mentioned earlier Jimmy Charles. He's a country music singer. He's coming to us this morning. I believe he's coming from, looks like from Maryland area or somewhere over on the East Coast, and I'm going to push the button here, and if everything works properly, come on Blog Talk Radio, please work. We are live, and of course, it doesn't want to work, so hang tight, everybody. We're trying to get Jimmy Charles on. Jimmy, hang on if you're listening. We're having a little technical difficulties as usual, but hang on. We're getting to you. Jimmy Charles is going to be joining us here in 1 second. There we go. I think I got you. Jimmy, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, I hear you. Sorry.
We're on.
Blog Talk Radio has a mind of its own, and Anyway, we got you. Thank you for joining the show. It looks like you're calling from Maryland, right?
No, you know what? That's where I grew up, and despite being in Nashville for 4 years, I have never changed my phone number ever. So I'm calling you from my cell phone right now. But I'm right in Nashville. I've got a show tonight, and this is where I live full time now.
Well, that's right. I was reading your bio. You're from Ocean City, right?
I'm from Ocean City, Maryland. Yeah, that's
a heck of a place to grow up.
I mean, I grew.
I lived there for quite a long time. I lived in Ocean City, Salisbury, Maryland. You're familiar with Salisbury, which is just a stone throw from Ocean City. And I actually lived in Ocean City myself for, about almost 2 years between Ocean City and Fenwick Island. So I'm aware of your stomping grounds. Yep.
Oh, that's great. Small world. Yeah, I graduated from Stephen Decatur High School right there on 50. And a lot of people are like, you grew up in Ocean City? Because Ocean City is such, for those people that don't know, it's such a beach town, tourist town. But if you go just a little outside in Berlin, it's kind of just like everywhere else. But then the summertime, we get to go to the beach, and everybody wants to be where we are. And it's been definitely different being kind of landlocked here in Tennessee and living here and not having that ocean. It's definitely been something that I've missed. So we have lakes and rivers, but it's not quite the ocean. You know what I mean?
No, you don't have the ocean. Now, I've gone from one ocean to the other. I'm in California, but yeah, I love Ocean City. What they used to say in Ocean City is in the summertime, the population goes from 3,000 to 350,000 on the weekend. So it was it was a booming town during the summer months. And I wanted to thank you for coming on our show, and I've been listening to your music. In fact, I've been playing your music. I played your music last night on our show, and have played a couple of your songs this morning, and great stuff. And I'm looking forward to playing some more of your songs here as we move along in your interview. But how the heck did you I can tell how you got in the music business based on your voice. How'd you get started?
I always sang when growing up, just like chorus and things like that. But I was kind of a closet singer. My dad always played guitar. He was very much into traditional old country, a lot of stuff that my friends growing up weren't listening to, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Merle Haggard, he was singing these songs. And I kind of just got into it and learned to play the guitar. But it wasn't something I really shared. I never thought it was something I could actually achieve. I went to Towson University on a football scholarship, and sports was really my focus through college. And the playing music was just kind of a fun thing. But things started to happen where people were just kind of like, you should really get after this and start doing it. You've got a lot of talent. I'd just be like, whatever. But enough people started telling you, and you start to believe in yourself. And then, I said, well, let's give this a shot. Suddenly, one day I played my last football game, and I was like, wow, I'll never put another pair of shoulder pads or helmet on again. And I'm a passionate guy, so I've got to go after things. And I started playing. If you guys would have seen the place where I played my first gig, it's called RJ's. If you needed to go to the bathroom, you had to go through the kitchen to use the employee bathroom. I mean, this thing was small. I think I had more teeth than anybody in the whole place put together, and it was quite an experience. But doing that, and then I tried out. Gosh, I guess about 5 years ago, I tried out for Nashville Star, and I just gave it a go. And out of thousands of people, I was moving through these rounds and saw the way these producers were looking at me and complimenting me. And I actually made it into the top 50 and was almost cast that year on Nashville Star. They only take 15 on that show. It's not like American Idol where there's, they take 100 and some to Hollywood. They narrow it down to their 15 cast members. But, even though that didn't work out, I just said to myself, wow, I was like, look how close I came to being. I really must have something, and it's something I love to do, and I just started believing in myself. And then I said, you know what? I told my parents one day, I said, I'm moving to Nashville. I'm going to give this every single thing that I've got.
Now, you've been there for 4 years in Nashville now?
Thanksgiving will be 4 years. I wow. left right before Thanksgiving, and everybody's like, why do you leave right before Thanksgiving? I was like, man, I just got to go. It's time. I've been putting it off and putting it off.
Well, it's
but what an
stuff.
Experience.
Now, if I was reading your bio correctly, did you actually appear on American Idol?
Yeah, I was on season 9. I went to Hollywood. There were 110,000 people who auditioned that season, and I went through 4 rounds and got in front of the celebrity judges. And this was the year that Ellen DeGeneres was on.
Okay.
I got 4 yeses to Hollywood. I was cut during Hollywood week, so I wasn't, you know, one of the top. I think they start voting in the top 30 or something, somewhere around there. So I didn't quite make it that far, but it was the most exciting experience I've ever had in my entire life. I mean, the anticipation of it all, and you know, seeing what goes on behind the scenes, being flown out to Hollywood, knowing you're going to hit the biggest stage that there is,
right.
was very nerve-wracking, but very exciting as well.
Well, now, so do you think that between the American Idol and also the Clear Channel Radio and also the Nashville Star, do you think that's what helped, I guess, bring you to the limelight and then people started noticing you? And I've always say the show, it's not what you know, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. So it probably puts you in front of people who knew you, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, what it did best was, you know, and I had already been out in Nashville for a good year and a half, I believe. I was playing the honky-tonks downtown, you know, all the famous ones that you hear about. I played pretty much every one of those. And, you know, I went from that to, you know, I'd already been playing. So, and I was on the commercial. So everybody, because you're not allowed to talk about being on the show. Once you get, you've got to sign all these waivers that you can't talk about the show, who's going to be on. But they showed me on one of the commercials one day, and I remember I was in a bar watching Monday Night Football, and they played it right after Monday Night Football, and it was my hometown. And it came on, and everybody looked, and they were like, that's that guy, and the whole place just went crazy. So it was pretty funny, but, you know, all of a sudden it brought attention to what I was doing. And there were some of the radio stations started talking about me. Hey, we got a hometown boy that's going to be on American Idol and, you know, got a golden ticket. And I had some music posted, and it got me a lot of following, especially back home. And it's certainly something that I can always, you know, say I did and keep in my back pocket.
It's good stuff and great music. And do you write most of your songs, or you write them all?
There are, on the new album, there are 15 songs. 12 of them I wrote either myself or I co-wrote with someone else. So,
okay.
And all the new songs I've written myself. I really like to be a part of the writing process. I've been writing music since I was 16, 17. You know, I've always had a creative side to me and a creative mind. And, it's just so much fun to take, you know, your feelings and just different things, your experiences, and watch it all come together, and then go in the studio and then watch it come together. And here's, you know, some kind of thought or something that has turned into an entire song. It's pretty magical.
Well, let's play one of your songs since we're talking about it now, so people can hear some more of your music. I played a couple of them earlier. I'm going to play, I like this one. It's called You're Not Perfect Till You Smile. Is that one of the,
yeah.
Is that one that you wrote?
It is one I wrote. I co-wrote that with a writer in town, Olivia West, and we were thinking to ourselves, you know, it's kind of that moment where two couples, you know, they argue, and sometimes you just sit back and you're like, what the heck are we arguing about? And you kind of smile, and the other person smiles, and it's like you just forget about it. You're not even mad anymore. So that's what that song's about.
All right, well, we're going to play that one, You're Not Perfect Till You Smile. This is Jimmy Charles. We'll be back here in about 3.5 minutes after the song.
I'm not perfect. Lord knows I tried. say things we don't mean. Every time I put my foot back in my mind, you let me know just how ridiculous I sound. You're not perfect till that sun spreads across your face. You're not perfect. Sometimes I swear that you're a saint. You make me crazy only for a little while. You're not perfect till you smile. The alarm clock's ringing, the rain pouring down outside. She's a tango from where we made up last night. It's gonna be hell today to work on 3 hours sleep. And all of that fades away when you look up at me. You're not perfect until that sun spreads across your face. You're not perfect. Sometimes I swear that you're a saint. You make me crazy only for a little while. You're not perfect till you smile. And every time we disagree, oh, this is how it is. You just have to smile. Till that sun spreads across your face. You're not perfect. Sometimes I swear that you're a saint. You make me crazy only for a little while. You're not perfect till you.
Jimmy Charles, you're not perfect till you smile. We have Jimmy Charles on here this morning with us, joining us. Great, great song, Jimmy.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, thank
really,
you. You know,
really
I,
good
Rutledge,
stuff.
Steve Rutledge produced that song, and for the country fans out there, Steve Holy, his big first song was Good Morning Beautiful and Brand New Girlfriend. Steve Rutledge used to be the band leader and lead guitarist for Steve Holy. So, and he said the song actually reminded him a lot of Good Morning Beautiful. So,
yeah, it's a nice, really nice song, nice lyrics. Now, what are your, you mentioned you have this new CD. What's the new CD called?
Cowboy Soul, which is the first single that we're releasing off the album. Just a real up tempo, cool song about just everybody kind of having a cowboy soul in them. And,
I
you know, we're a little bit crazy, we're a little bit fun. What's that?
I played that song last night and again this morning. It is a great song. So that's your first single release, huh?
Yeah, it's been picked up on Daytona Radio in full rotation and down in Florida. It's also been picked up in Arizona on Eagle, and we're working diligently to get it on several other stations. We're waiting to hear back, but we're getting all great feedback for it. We just started putting it out there a few days ago, and we've already gotten on a few stations, so I'm pretty excited to get the song back on the radio.
Yeah, I played it last night, and I had someone write me on the chat room, like, who the heck is this guy, and where can we find him? And speaking of that, where can we find you? You have your Reverb Nation website, which is the Reverb Nation and Jimmy Charles. Is there other websites people can find your music and also find more information about you?
Yeah, the best thing to do, I'd love for everybody to follow me on Facebook. That's how I really keep in touch with my fans and all the different things that have going on, where my shows are. If you look up facebook.com/JimmyCharlesFans,
okay.
you'll find my page, and you can like my page, and feel free to comment on there if you're hearing this. If you're hearing the music, I love to hear from everybody. You can also go into my band on there, and it'll bring down all of my music. And all of my music on the new album is on that Facebook, along with Reverb Nation. I'm on Twitter as well, twitter.com/JimmyCharles92. And I'm not a huge Twitter guy. I know I've got to do more. I don't, you know, I know some people are like, I took two steps, and I'm about to take another one. And there's, you know, they're, I don't do that, but I definitely post when cool things happen. And, you know, right now, especially with this new CD and the new album out, it's just I can feel a turning point coming, and I'm really excited about the upcoming
months.
So.
It's really, really good stuff. And by the way, I'll have to tell you later, there's a secret on how you can post on Facebook and it automatically posts to Twitter at the same time. It saves a lot of time. You don't have to double post. And that's what we do. We post once, and then it goes to Twitter. And you also can set it up to do other sites, too. I'll tell you how to do that off the air. But so this is a cooking show, so I have to ask you, are you a big cooker or a baker or a barbecuer?
I'm not. My dad is. I don't have time. I normally play, you know, I'm playing, four or five nights a week in Nashville. When I'm not playing, I usually like to go out to dinner. But my dad,
well,
growing
say,
up, I mean,
hey, I say if you don't cook, at least you eat. Everybody eats, and so you qualify.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely appreciate great food. There's no doubt, and I wish I had more time. A lot of times, you know, I end up in a lot of circumstances where I'm kind of rushing around from one thing to the next, and I don't get to sit down and have a nice meal. But there's nothing like a good barbecue, you know.
Oh yeah,
summertime barbecues, and I usually end up, you know, being the grill master. I mean, I love cooking the steaks up and the burgers and getting everybody's, you know, thing ready, and then we eat, and then I bring my guitar out, and hopefully I got a couple other guys, and we'll sit out and drink some beers and just have a good old time.
Yeah. Well,
and, but growing up,
like,
my dad,
like grill and beer, there's nothing like it. You said your dad was what now?
My dad, he was the big cooker. He cooked dinner every single night when I was growing up. And he loved it. He loved it. Now, when I was younger, he would do a lot of stuff that was not something a five-year-old kid likes. You know what I mean? Scallop,
right.
Shrimp, turtle soup. Five-year-old, six-year-old, eight-year-old kid does not like turtle soup. I always had to sit at the table until my dinner was done. No matter what, you know, the whole people are starving in this world, you're going to eat your food and like it. And that turtle soup took me a long time to get down. But,
my dad told me that one time. He said, eat your peas. There's children all around the world who are hungry and don't eat. I said, well, just put it in a box and send it to them in the mail, because I don't want it.
Yeah. I know. But now I love it, you know, and every time I get a chance to get back home, you know, if we don't go out, of course, I always got to get a crab cake when I go back to Maryland, a real crab cake.
Oh, yeah.
People,
oh,
if
yeah.
you have not been to Maryland, you don't know what a real crab cake is. They try to imitate it, but it's just, it's not the same.
No,
so,
there's
but
only one place to get them. And Eastern Shore is the best area. From Ocean City, there's some great restaurants over there that make the best crab cake, Maryland crab cakes. You're right. Now, I'm going to mention real quick before we run out of time here, you're in Nashville, so where are you playing now? Do you have, like, concerts lined up?
Yeah, well, right now I'm just kind of gigging around Nashville, which I call it. You know, the main focus was to get this music done. I have and get it to the people that, you know, I've met along the way. They wanted to hear the new music. We're taking on new team members. Now working with Synchronicity PR. Which
right.
has heard my stuff, loves it. So we just started a new relationship there. I also very excited to be working with Al Embry. We just started a relationship a couple weeks ago. And for those who aren't familiar with who Al Embry is, he was he's been in the business since 1975, and he managed Jerry Lee Lewis, Fats Domino. He's worked with Garth Brooks, Alabama, Elvis, Johnny Cash. I mean, you name it. He's either been in booking or management with just these legends. And he saw me performing and heard about me, and now we're working together. So there's just a whole lot of great things.
It's really great, good stuff, and your music's fantastic. And between you and me, I think Ellen and the American Idol people got it wrong. I can see that. Of course, that's what that helped you get your start, but you're a great talent, and we appreciate you taking time to be on our little show this morning and wish you the best. And make sure everyone who's listening checks out all the places that Jimmy mentioned on Facebook. Check him out on Facebook, Twitter, Reverb Nation. Check out his music. Buy some CDs. And, Jimmy, we're running out of time.
Yeah, I'm on iTunes. I'm also on iTunes. I forgot to mention that. If you search Jimmy Charles Country, I'm not the top singer from the 50s, but Jimmy Charles Country, you'll see the new album. It just got loaded up there yesterday. So, and write some reviews.
All right, everybody, check it
out.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Thank you for being on the show. I'm going to close out the show, Jimmy, by the way, with your song, You're My Favorite Place to Be, another great tune. And keep us posted as things develop, and you're welcome on the show anytime.
I can't thank you enough for having me.
All right, thank you. And everybody, check out his stuff. It's great. And we're running out of time here, and we blew through 90 minutes. We thank Jimmy again. We thank all our guests, Jane. And also thank Emily Ellen for her thing in the beginning of the show. Everybody, come back next Friday night. We have another musical guest next Friday night. And then next Saturday, we have a whole lineup as usual, same time, same place. As we close out, we're going to play Jimmy Charles, You're My Favorite Place to Be. Everyone, have a nice weekend, and we'll see you next Friday night.
I go, only I know the lay of the land. It's the most beautiful place on earth. From the rolling hills to the winding curves, nothing else compares, nothing else comes first, and it's warm inside. And in the middle of the night, it brings me home and sets me free. You're my favorite place to be. I can feel it when it's close, when I'm not there. It's here.